Darlene Klepel, my first question was, on the campaign trail, how are you explaining to voters what this new Office of County Executive does?
Well, that is still the biggest question that I get when I'm out talking with people is, what is the county executive? So the way I describe it to folks is that it is kind of like having a mayor at the city council level or a governor at the state level. It's the executive branch of a county government, which before was basically not separate. There was only the legislative branch of the board. And they were, the person who actually managed the county's affairs was an appointed person, appointed by the board. And this person will be elected by the voters.
So the county executive will be sort of like the mayor of the county, and a mayor that has management duties.
Correct.
And also a mayor that presides over the county.
Correct.
The county board.
Yes. So it's a little bit confusing because it's not exactly like any of the other levels. The position combines both the things that the county administrator was doing in past, which is basically the day-to-day operations of the county and supporting the county board, and then manages also the county board only in terms of presiding over the county board meetings. The rest of the time, the county board will have its own structure and will continue to manage itself.
The county executive will be able to break tie votes?
Yes, the county executive will not vote except in cases of a tie, and then they have the ability to break the tie.
But will the county executive set the agenda?
That has yet, probably not. I'll say it's not been totally decided. The county board is still considering the rules and which things are going to be which way in terms of procedure. However, probably the county board will set its own agenda.
And formation of committee and committee leaders?
Yes, still probably under the county board themselves. However, the county executive will be able to appoint the people that are outside the board for, like, commissions, boards, and representatives that are representing the county on different boards in the community.
And budget proposals?
Budget proposal will come from the county executive, but will need to go before the board for approval, as will appointments that are made.
And you'll be, if you're elected, you would be in charge of the day-to-day management of those parts of county government that are not under other elected countywide officials, like the treasurer and the sheriff, et cetera.
Correct. So that would include the highway department, the facilities of the county owns, the planning and zoning, animal control, those kinds of things.
And I know when this was first proposed by the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce and the Farm Bureau, their concern was they felt that essentially gridlock and divisiveness in the county board was keeping decisions from being made, and that a county executive could be more decisive in leading the county board and also having their own power to get things done. How do you see that working out?
Well, obviously, whenever you have a system of checks and balances means you build in opportunities for conflict. That's the point of checks and balances, is if you don't agree on something, there can be a balance to that. So I think there is an opportunity for there to be those kinds of conflicts between the board and the executive. However, I would also tell you that obviously the goal should be to try to not have those, because it does create gridlock. We've seen that at the state level. We've seen it at the federal level. I would hope that it would not be as bad at the county level. It is true that in our county, we have pretty much an even divide between what I would say are usually the different caucuses, so between Republican or Democrat, or between maybe even you could say between rural and urban, or the different kinds of interests that present themselves. So often we do have votes that are very close. And so potentially the county executive could help some of those decisions be made that have been sort of gridlocked before.
When you're out talking to voters, what are you hearing from them as far as what they want this new form of county government to do?
Well, what I am hearing is that they are very interested in getting past the politics and trying to work on some vision that will help the county move forward. They understand the need for the political parties during the election process, but they are really hopeful that once the election occurs, that people can get past that and that we can actually get some things done. And of course, they then proceeded to tell me several things they'd like to have get done. But they believe that the people at the local level should be doing the administrative functions, which the office requires, rather than worrying about politics so much.
So are you hearing that, do you think, from both Democrats and Republicans?
I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You talked a little bit about working with the county board. How do you see yourself working with county board members who are, of course, going to be under this new system for the first time? And, you know, some of them supported it and some of them did not.
Right. And I do think that for the first little while, there will be some uncertainty. I expect that whenever you make a change, that people are a little bit uncertain about how that will play out. I think there will be some resistance. Change is hard. People sometimes even believe that they want change, and still when it starts to happen, it's not quite the way they envisioned it, and so there's then more resistance. That's common in change. I've worked with change management in many organizations of all kinds, and I think that's pretty common. So I'm expecting that. What I do think, though, is that from what I've heard, most people would like to get along in terms of trying to get things done, and it certainly is easier to get along with people that you can communicate with, rather than people you're not talking to. And so myself, and I know several of the people who are running for the county board or are on the county board have reached out across the aisle or to other new members. And this time there will be a lot of new members elected to the board to try to start to build those relationships, at least with conversation.
How would you describe maybe the difference in approach between yourself and your Republican opponent, Gordy Holton? What do you think sets you apart as far as how you would approach the job of county executive?
Well, in my experience, I think that trying to work with people from a position that they are trying to do the best they can from their viewpoint is a good position to start with. People often agree on how things should occur, but they sometimes can agree on what the ultimate outcome should be. Obviously, we all want to live in safe neighborhoods. We all want to have a good job, those kinds of things. And so the question is how you can build a path to get there that is agreeable with people or that feels like it meets people's needs. And so the first thing I try to do is listen to a wide variety of viewpoints, and I try to bring people with different viewpoints to the table before the decision is made. I want to listen to what various objections or viewpoints are, because I think that helps you build a better solution that helps in the long run reach a consensus. I do not think it makes a good solution for the board to be pretty evenly divided with maybe, let's say, a 12-10 split, and things happen because of that, and half of the people are not happy. I don't think that's a good way to get good support behind the projects. I don't think it's a way to build for the future. And I think we need to live with our neighbors here locally. It's a little different if you're at the federal level or that sort of thing where you don't have to see people. But here we have to live next door to people and we live in the same community. So I think we should try to work that out better. And I think that that's just my approach to trying to deal with problems in general. And I have experience with that. I've done it in other situations, and so I think I can bring that to the table.
So you think you bring a greater interest and commitment to consensus than your opponent?
I think so. And I think maybe I bring better skills and experience with private business, with public entities, with nonprofits. I just have more years of experience or more different situations that I've worked with in the past that have been able to do that.
On your campaign website, you said you held a series of public meetings earlier this year and that you said what you got from out of those meetings would fuel the strategic plan that you make for the county if you're mm-hmm. elected. Can you point to any major ideas you've got from those meetings that you might want to pursue?
Sure. I can give you a couple of things that I would like to get done. The 6-year plan has always been high on my agenda, and the reason that I picked that is because
that's the 6-year plan for
the county's vision, what we would like to see the county look like in 6 years.
Is that what we have right now?
We do not.
We have a plan.
We have a strategic plan. It's a 2-year plan at this point in time. We have a 10-year facilities plan, We have a 1 or 2 or 3 year IT plan. They're not coordinated, and there's no plan for revenue as far as how we're going to bring more revenue into the county or to deal with the expenses. Basically, what we have is a wish list that says, here's all the things we'd like to do, and each year we pick 1 or 2 or 3 that we can afford to do. And that's not really a vision for where we're going, and it doesn't give us a way to measure if we're getting there.
So you want to have 6 years that would cover just about everything.
I would. And the reason I'd like to do 6 years is because it's beyond everyone's term of office, which I think is also because we'd be a little more focused on what the vision is rather than getting reelected.
And I'm always a question when you start planning beyond your term of office, is there what are the chances of those things getting done that are beyond the term if they're going to be in someone else's hands?
Right. And that is a big point. There's a lot of plans that have been done and then just put on the shelf. What I would hope is that during the process of building the plan, that we would generate good public support for the plan, that we would generate good board support for the plan, and we would generate good support from the officials for the plan. And so if you can get a lot of people behind the plan, then as people turn over onto your terms or that sort of thing, you still have something you're working toward. And I do think that also, you need to build in some accountabilities and some measurable outcomes or measurable progressive milestones. That way you can see that you're making progress toward the plan. Certainly, any plan is a plan and can be changed as you go forward, but at least it gives you a place to start and a place where you're trying to end up. Right now, we just do a crisis-by-crisis budget, and we do have those other plans that we try to take a look at, but basically, as I said, they're wish lists, and we're just basically trying to go through a list and say, well, we can afford this year, let's do this. And so there's no coherent plan to make it happen or what it's doing for us. And I'm thinking that in 10 years, we'll look back and say, well, we did this and we did this and we did this, but we're not any better off than we thought we would be.
And this is something that came from the public meetings that you held?
Yeah, I think people realize that we're in crisis decision-making mode. There seems to be kind of an underlying fear that the county won't be able to keep up with its expenses. Nobody wants to raise their taxes. They're very concerned about their property values or decisions that the county is making that might be affecting business development in the community and those kinds of things. They're just all tied together. And so I think we need to do that in a plan.
Was there anything else that came out of those public meetings that you might want to pursue?
Yes. I would really like to broker some deals that would improve business development and workforce development in our community. People are concerned about jobs here. They're concerned about the wages of jobs here. And the business owners are concerned about being able to find employees that they can fit into jobs that they will have available. And so I think we need to take a better look at the matching of people that have economic development and also workforce development. Kind of they go together and try to find some matches and some career paths for people. Another thing that's related to that is we have a lot of students that graduate from our university locally. They're very well qualified to take entry-level jobs, but they either take an initial job here and then find a better job somewhere else and move on. We don't have very good career paths for middle management people here. So we have either business owners or we have entry-level folks. We need some things in between where people can move up in their careers.
And how can county government play a role in encouraging that sort of economic development?
Well, one of the things that I've been learning more about lately is some sustainable environmental kinds of things. That's a growing field. The county does have some very outdated land use plans and zoning regulations and those kind of things, which I think is could be beefed up a little bit and might encourage there to be those kinds of jobs locally. We've got a growing market here for organic farming. And for farm-to-table kinds of activities here. Both of the cities, of course, are trying to develop their downtowns. Champaign's a little further ahead at this point than Urbana is. Mahomet's making big progress in that area. St. Joe has got efforts going in that way. So I think that there's a lot of those kind of opportunities that we need to think of ourselves a little bit more as a region. And the county, obviously, is a bigger geographic area that encompasses all of those municipalities. But we probably even need to look bigger than that to the surrounding counties.
Could you talk about your plans for the county jail? And I know this is something that's been before the county for some time, but what do you want to happen to the current two jail facilities?
Well, that probably will come up shortly on the county's agenda this year, but where I'd like to see it go is I'd like to see them consolidate the buildings. I don't think it's very efficient to run two separate buildings. I'm not sure why that ever happened. Well, I do know why it happened, because we couldn't expand the downtown facility when we needed more space, so they had to build a satellite somewhere else. The building downtown is falling apart. It's in really bad shape. It's a health hazard, and soon it will be a construction hazard because things are actually falling apart in there. I do think we need to close that building. That might open up some opportunities for other kinds of development in that spot. But for the jail itself, what I'd also like to see is that whatever kind of consolidation we do would add things for mental health services, for educational services, more for reentry type services, perhaps some alternatives to people who are nonviolent, just all different kinds of things like that that I'd like to see us consider when we do that reconstruction or renovation or consolidation, whatever you want to call it.
And that will mean working with other elected officials, not just the county board, but
correct,
but also the sheriff.
The sheriff's office, right. The sheriff's office. Obviously, finances are going to be a big deal. So the city's, the county's treasurer would have some impact on that, because we're going to need to look for money, or if we're doing any kind of construction, the county certainly does not have a lot of money to do that right now. Those kind of things. So, yes, it will mean working with the other officials. And it will mean working with the city officials as well, because obviously the jail handles all of the people who are arrested in the county, also for the cities, the municipalities as well.
So you're thinking that things like mental health services, drug treatment, mm-hmm. should be maybe a bigger part of what the jail is able to do than it is now.
Yes, I think that should be a connection. I don't know that the county would necessarily be responsible for providing all of those services, although the county does have a mental health board, so we will certainly have conversations with them as well. But there are other providers in the community, local mental health providers or substance abuse providers or housing providers, and I know that efforts have been made to bring them to the table before to work out services. I am thinking that my experience with working with them in the past as a nonprofit provider and at the Regional Planning Commission, I've been able to get a lot of people to the table to work out those kind of deals, because I understand what nonprofits need to make themselves work, and that's different than what the government needs to make itself work financially. So being able to look at both of those perspectives potentially could make something work in terms of a deal that would work out a new service in the community.
But you're thinking the county board may act on this before the first county executive takes office?
I'm thinking the county board will need to consider something for the jail, because a decision is going to need to be made about whether to keep the downtown facility and do some renovation there, which will be expensive for American Disabilities Act requirements. And also there's some foundational issues. They may need to do that this year on a crisis basis. So I know that at least it's on their radar as far as looking at this year's budget.
You said foundational issues.
The foundation is collapsing in one place.
Oh, the physical foundation.
The physical foundation of the building.
Of the downtown building. Do you think that the overall capacity of the county jail between the two buildings, if you consolidate in one place, would stay the same or become bigger or smaller or what?
Well, I don't see any need to increase the number of beds between the two facilities. I do think something will have to be done with the satellite if we're going to move people out to it. It's crowded right now. So, but between the total number of beds, no, I don't think we need to increase the total number of beds.
But there would probably have to be some changes in layout if you're thinking
yes.
of mental health and drug treatment services.
Yes, or classroom space or meeting room space or halfway house space, something. There's lots of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. How does this affect things if the county board decides essentially to keep the downtown building a while longer? How does that affect any decisions awaiting you if you're elected county executive and take office next year?
Well, obviously, when I'm elected, I'll have to deal with whatever is on the table at that time. The county board will need to make some decisions, I think, in terms of, obviously, they have to do a year's budget. And so whatever will happen in this next year will be their responsibility without an executive. Well, I will be with an executive because I'll be elected, but it'll be a budget already set. You can always do budget amendments. So that's a possibility and probably will need to be done, because the executive is not in the position right now to help with the budget process, which will be decided by the time the election occurs.
beyond the jail, are there any other infrastructure issues you feel the county must address?
Oh, lots. They have a long list, very long list.
What's a priority for you?
Well, Brookins is also in really bad shape, and there's been some conversation and delays on maintenance for many years there.
Now, you know, I think when people visit Brookins, it's not obvious, but you're saying that there are problems with the building.
There are problems with the building. It's very energy inefficient, so it costs a lot to run the building. The roof has problems and I think needs to be replaced. I'm not sure of all the details of what's wrong. I was in that building at the Regional Planning Commission for 15 years, and I do know that you're either too hot or too cold wherever you are, whatever season it is. And I do know that they have trouble with the heaters and coolers on the roof and that the roof itself leaks.
I've heard proposals. I'm sorry, I can't remember who made them before, of not refurbishing Brookins in the long term, but moving out of Brookins, perhaps back into downtown Urbana.
Yes, that has been a suggestion in past. I don't think it's been pursued recently. I haven't heard anyone talking about it recently. That is certainly one possibility, and it would potentially work. I'm just thinking out loud here, but it potentially could work in downtown Urbana because there will be space at Lincoln Square. There's space if we decide to do something with the downtown jail. There's lots of possibilities for the downtown area.
Redistricting will come up during the first county executive term. What do you plan to do to keep the redistricting process fair and avoid gerrymandering?
Well, I do believe in independent redistricting. I have started investigating different ways of doing that, appointing people to the districting commission that are not necessarily in a political party or a political official won't necessarily fix whether it's gerrymandered or not, because obviously people have political leanings one way or the other. I've been looking into, I just attended a class actually from one of the professors at the university that does algorithms to determine elective districts, and was checking into what are the pros and cons of doing it that way. So, again, it's not a final decision, but it certainly will try to have some influence on that process.
I've heard the proposal made by your opponent from when I spoke with him earlier this year, and the way that he explained it is that he would essentially, as county executive, make the first proposal for a map based on recommendations of an independent commission. And if the county board didn't like it, he would veto plans that he did not like until he got what he wanted. Do you see it working that way?
Well, it certainly could work that way. Here's more what I like. I would just say going in that this is more how I'm looking at it at this point. When I was a little girl, my mother taught me about sharing. And the way she would have us do it at home was that if we had a piece of candy or a piece of pie, one of us would get to cut the piece and the other one would get to choose which piece they wanted. And I think that's what's called fair. So that's kind of my standard of how I would look at whether something is being done fairly. And if the other side objects voraciously to it, my guess is it's probably not very fair. I also think that it's a mistake for the county. If you're really trying to move forward, I mean, we can keep doing this thing back and forth with each party. And I know there's some interest in doing that. But what I also would say is that I'm not sure that's in the long-term best interest of the county, because if you're talking about doing it fairly, and I think the voters pretty much have clearly said in many ways, even with the referendum that went up to the state last year, that they want the fair process. They're looking for a fair process where people get choices to vote. That it would also, it can turn around to bite you, because your party may not be the party in power in 4 years. And so things that have been set up to be gerrymandered end up not being a good thing for the party that set it up that way. So I'm not sure that's the best way we want to go anymore.
In a county that's that apparently has such a strong rural-urban split between the parties, do you think it's possible to come up with a map that both sides will say is good enough?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think it is possible. Of course, as you know, someone is usually not happy with whatever the solution will be. So I don't think it will be a total consensus, but I do think it's possible to do it better than it's being done.
And just for clarity's sake, I'm gathering that there will be a process in place.
Yes.
I think the commission was already set up 10 years ago.
I am not sure about that. I do think that the executive does have the first go at putting together a map.
And you would like to work with an independent commission?
I would.
Okay. So would that be set up by you or by the county board?
That as yet has been undecided.
Okay. County, of course, is in the process of completing a sale of the county nursing home to a private buyer. The taxes that have tried to fund that nursing home are still there, and they'll continue for a while, and plus the money that the county is getting from the buyer. What happens financially in the absence of the nursing home to the county from now on, and what should happen to those taxes?
Okay, that requires a little more explanation. The county board is in the process of selling the nursing home, and when that occurs, the county will have to use the taxes or the money that was obtained from the sale to pay off two of the three bonds, as well as the vendors that are owed money, and then they also owe the county money. The nursing home itself owes the county money. So the first thing that has to happen is they have to pay off the bonds. That's required by law, that once you no longer own the nursing home, you have to pay off all the rest of the bonds that are owed on those two bonds. So there's three bonds out right now. Two of them will have to be paid back immediately. The third bond will still be outstanding and cannot by law be paid off. The way it was set up, it cannot be paid off early. So that money will continue to come in. And that money can be used for other purposes. I will say that for the first year or two, most likely that money is going to have to be used to pay the county back and the vendors back, because the amount that's being paid for the nursing home probably will not cover all the costs that are owed by the nursing home to everybody. The vendors, I think, will get paid from the sale, and the bonds will be paid off from the sale, but I don't think the county will be paid back from the sale. And so that money will probably have to still come out of the bonds for a while.
So how long will it take before essentially either money becomes available or those taxes, either those taxes can be applied to something else or the taxes can be reduced?
I would have to talk to the financial people again, but the last conversation that I had, it appeared that was going to be about 2 years.
Okay. And once that time comes, should the taxes be reduced or should they be applied to something else?
Well, that would fit into our strategic plan.
So you're saying that's something that you and the county board would work together on?
Yes, okay. That's what I'm saying, that we need to decide if there would be reason to keep the taxes, and we could get buy-in for that would be a good reason to do it, then I think we should keep them. If that's not the case, if we can't achieve buy-in for whatever the taxes would be used for, then obviously we'd want to consider giving them back. It's difficult for me to say that you would ever want to give the money back in a county that does not have home rule. We've got tax caps here, which are not keeping up with the cost of living. And so we need to figure out other ways of generating revenue. And we have other ways that our taxes are being skimmed. For example, the state is now taking off about $200,000 a year, I believe, from our sales tax. And so if with tax caps, we have no way of making any of that up. So that's what I'm saying. It's a bigger picture when you need to consider not just one thing at a time, but you have to put all of these pieces together and say, where are you really going with this?
But at the same time, any tax which is seen as having nursing home labeled on it, when you no longer have a nursing home, it would seem to me that it could become a political target.
It certainly could, and it already has. Actually, there's been people already asking for, can we spend it on this and can we spend it on that? And one option,
or can we get rid of it?
Can we just get rid of it entirely? I will say that when I was investigating about the nursing home, different options for what we might do with it or that sort of thing before the sale took place, one of the places I called was Tucson, where I used to live. And when I inquired what was going on down there with nursing homes, I was told they barely even have nursing homes anymore, which was surprising to me, thinking that they have a high percentage of their population that are seniors. And so I inquired more about it and investigated a little bit. And what I learned is that they have so many other services for seniors that keep people out of nursing homes that they don't even hardly have nursing homes. So it seems to me that if we wanted, I mean, again, back to vision for the county, what do we want our county to look like? There could be possibilities for using that services for seniors, not necessarily nursing home.
Things like assisted living or home health services.
Correct, correct.
And is that something that you feel that the county could play a role in?
Sure, sure.
And I'm thinking, I know that, for instance, Piatt County, which has a county nursing home with an assisted living facility mm-hmm. attached to it, I guess is one example. I don't know if what you're saying, that in places like Tucson, local governments have a role in providing those services for seniors
yes.
short of 24-hour nursing care.
Yes.
Okay. Have I left out anything that you feel is important to the office as far as what you want to do if you're elected?
Well, I do want to do one other thing, it's just sort of an underlying approach to the job, I think. I'm very interested in having more public input and ways for the public to interact with the county. I know that IT is a big piece of that. Information technology is a big piece of that. I'd like for people to, for example, be able to do applications online for services that we provide. I'd like for there to be digitized record keeping so that people can easily look up things. And I know that's been an issue with our ordinances and resolutions for a long time. I'd like to partner with maybe the library science department at the university to do some of these things, or the information technology department. I want people to understand what the county government does, which also is sometimes, I think, probably maybe the biggest question I get after what is this new county executive. The next question is, what does the county even do? People who live inside the city limits often don't know what the county even does for them. And I think that's something I'd like to correct.
With that in mind, do you expect that as county executive, you would be, you know, a visible public person like a mayor is, like the governor is?
Yes. Yes, I would. And I also would be interested in doing, for example, a newspaper column or a radio show regularly to talk about different things. I would be interested in having a blog or something on the website that people could easily look up. Where are we going? What's on, and I know we do have a website. The county has improved their website over the last few years, but I just think there are a lot of, we have such wonderful advances in technology that we're so far behind in using some of those. It would be nice to catch up a little bit.
So you think maybe it's the nature of the office that the county executive is going to be more in the public eye than, say, a county administrator or the county board chairman?
I think so. And part of that is because it's an elected position. And so you basically are the representative of the people, elected by the people. And so you can actually have an opinion about different things, maybe not the county board's opinion. Or you can find out what people think about hold public hearings, those kinds of things.
Do you expect that the size of the administration as far as people on the job, is that going to change from what it is now?
I don't think it'll be that much different.
You said your office already requires its own attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And will there still be a county administrator?
There will be some sort of deputy. I don't know how that will be. I mean, I'm in the process actually right now of working that out and how I'd like that to be organizationally. There will need to be somebody. As you know, the other officials all have a full-time person that's considered a deputy in their offices. I can't imagine why the executive would not need a person like that. But I think there could be ways of doing that wouldn't necessarily increase the cost of the office. The attorney actually will be viewed as increasing the cost of the office, but in fact would be using state's attorney time if you weren't hiring someone outside. And so I'm not sure that's an additional cost either.
Darlene Klippel, thank you very much for talking with me.
Okay. Thanks for having me today. Mm-hmm.